This is Generations, and my name is Kevin Swanson. Good to have you tune in with us. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, a pastor, but I'm also a father of five. And folks, I'm homeschooling my children out here in Colorado, and my oldest son just turned 15, and he's getting ready to drive. Now, I don't think he's quite ready, but he's almost there. And that's why we've got Wayne Tully, head of the National Driver Training Institute, in studio with us right now to explain to us why it is important to give our children a good, solid training in driver training. Now, Wayne, you've made this point before. Our children are studying math, English, and geography for 9,000 hours. Then we give them 6 hours of driver training and put them behind the wheel. Does that make sense?
Not at all, Kevin, and thanks for having me, and good morning, everybody in Colorado, and wherever else your message is going. Can you even imagine the amount of time we spend on basic education, reading, writing, math, science, 180 days a year for 12 years, 2,160 days, but yet we're going to teach our kids, the ones we've loved and raised and taken care of, how to drive safely in 6 hours. What's wrong with that picture, Kevin?
Wayne, I think we forget what is happening when you put a kid behind a 6,000-pound vehicle and you get him sent down the freeway at 60 miles an hour. That's a lot of 1/2 mv², if you catch my drift. That's a lot of kinetic energy, which if it hits something, there are going to be some deaths. And, of course, traffic deaths are the number 7 cause of death in all America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot more that needs to go into it. You know, today we've got 5-level interchanges. I'm sure, Kevin, you've been in the Dallas interchange off of outside DFW recently. That's an amazing structure. I grew up in Los Angeles myself, so I grew up around a 5-level interchange at the Interstate 5 and the 101 and the 405, not the 405, but the 710 and all those freeways come together in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And I got to tell you something. 6 hours behind the wheel, 30-hour classroom isn't quite enough. Those standards were set arbitrarily in 1949, but yet today, Kevin, if you open up the telephone book, that's the only thing that's for sale, 6 hours behind the wheel, 30-hour classroom.
And how much does that cost you?
Generally, on a commercial school, $400 to $500.
Wow,
I've seen it up as high as $700 to $800 with what I would call the better schools of the state of Colorado.
Yeah. And so, what did you do? You looked at this and you said, "Okay, our children. First of all, they need to survive. That's a value, right? We all agree in the studio
Absolutely.
Here, Dave. You're on board with that. Okay. We want our children to live through their teens and hopefully well into their life, their adult life. And we don't want them in traffic accidents. So, number one, that's a value. They're going to be behind the wheel for a lot of hours throughout their lives. I know we are. We probably drive anywhere from an hour to two every single day. And so they're going to be behind the wheel a good part of their lives. Certainly, they need to get a good, solid driver training course. And yet, what you said is, why don't we put this in the hands of fathers and mothers? Why does that make sense, Wayne?
Well, let me tell you something. If a mom and a dad can assess a student's skill level and determine if they're going to be safe, they will be safer. If a parent doesn't know to what to ask or to investigate what they know so they could teach them what they don't know, they're starting off on a losing foot. And they're also setting up their teen for failure. So, Kevin, what we need to do is, as parents, we need to start paying attention what they've learned and what curriculum they're studying in and what format they're learning it. The second you separate the education from the practical, you're setting your teen up for failure. And this is where we need to change that tide. We need to change America in the way we're thinking. You know, Kevin, today, 1 out of 100 teens are going to lose their life.
Wow.
14,000 teenagers, 16 to 17, will lose their life in the year 2006 and 2007. 43,000 people will lose their lives in a crash fatality this next year. And that includes the 32,000 of adults. Now, if we're doing such a great job, how come we're losing so many adults? Who taught those adults? The 6 hours behind the wheel, 30-hour classroom. We need to change the way we're thinking. We need to integrate the educational to the practical. We have to do a concurrent training, and we have to spend a year doing it. And mom and dad, you need to plan to spend 50, 60, 70 hours with your teen, or you're setting them up for failure. And we know what that kind of failure, what we're talking about. We are talking about something fatal.
Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the principle of life integration, absolutely essential in the education of a child. I make the point in my book, Upgrade. The principle of life integration is essential, and we're going to apply it to driver training on this program today. My son is 15 years old. He's ready to learn, and I'm going to find out how he's going to do that from Wayne Tully, who's director of the National Driving Training Institute. And that's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Back with Wayne Tully on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today the topic is training your children to drive the car. As I mentioned, my son is now 15 years old, and, well, I'm scared. I'm just a little scared. You know, Wayne, I don't think he is ready. And I think every parent has a sense of when your child is responsible enough to drive a car. And I just told him the other day, it would have been 2-3 days ago, son, you're just not ready. I don't know what it is, but I don't think you're ready. You're just not responsible enough to drive a car. Why am I saying that? Wayne, why do I think my son's not responsible?
Because he's not ready. Okay. I mean, basically, he's not ready.
But what's ready? What is ready?
Let me tell you that, and these are some of the rulers that you'll perhaps want to go by. Is he following direction from you when you're giving him direction? Is his attitude correct with his other brothers and sisters and his mother? When you ask him to do something and he's not doing it, like let's say take the dinner plate from underneath his bed that's been there a week, or his stinky socks in the corner. If he's not following your direction there, what makes you think he's going to follow your direction when he's in your car off down the road?
Right. And when you give him an assignment that is important, does he follow through on it, and how well does he do with it?
Absolutely. Now, once you've accomplished that, and once you've mastered that he's following your direction, and he realizes that this is a life and death situation, and that he cannot balk when you give him direction. It's like talking to strangers or watching what he's eating and just behave. Then that's when you start. You give him the curriculum. In our particular curriculum, we have a 30-hour classroom curriculum that's concurrently trained with the 50 hours behind the wheel. Now, that is what's required by state law to start driver's education.
Okay, so what he does is he does the classroom and the behind-the-wheel stuff at the same time.
Exactly, concurrently.
Okay.
And so what we've done is we've taken that 30-hour classroom and joined it together with the 50 hours behind the wheel, which is required in pretty much most states, Kevin, throughout the United States. 50 hours is a mandate. The 6 hours behind the wheel with professional driver instructors is something that's going by the side. Now, in this state, they recently enacted that. The only difficulty with that is we don't have any certified instructors in this state.
So, and you're talking about Colorado.
In Colorado. Mm-hmm. But let's assume that we do, and you've got that 50-hour mandate, the 30-hour class. And now what we have done at National Driver Training is we have joined those two units together, making an 80-hour program. We then took that 80 hours and divided it into 7 levels. Now each level has 2 parts. Part 1 is always classroom, and part 2 is always behind the wheel. The student must achieve enough points in both the classroom and behind the wheel with mom and dad before being allowed to graduate to the next level. Level 1 is parking lot. Level 2 is residential streets. Level 3 is avenues and boulevards, and so on.
Okay, so the first thing that happens on day 1 is I go out and I buy myself a National Driver Training Institute kit, which involves all of this stuff. And then I sit down with my son and say, okay, son, you're ready. Now, in the state of Colorado, he's ready to start when he is how old?
15 years of age, if you're going to do the behind the wheel with National Driver Training, you have to purchase 6 hours. Or if you don't want to do the 6 hours of professional training, he can start at 15 years, 6 months.
Okay, so that may be what we do. We wait till he's 15 years and 6 months, and we go out and get the NDTI course, which we already have. And we set him down and we say, okay, son, it's time to do part one of this course of, 80 hours. And the first thing he does is he studies what?
He studies Chapter 1 of Help for the Teenager Wants to Drive, Chapter 1, which is basic information about the vehicle, basic rules and regulations on the roads and the street markings of the state of Colorado. He's also studying the state handbook. But, Kevin, I'm going to give you some news that you probably are not aware of. Daniel is a pretty smart little guy. I've spent some time with Daniel.
Yeah.
And at the Czech conference last June, he signed up for the entire course. So I don't know that you spent that money or that you know that you spent that money, but he's actually in the whole course and he's actually eligible right now to get his permit. Anyways, so what he's going to do is he's going to study Chapter 1. He's going to complete studying the state handbook. He's going to take a state test. It's a 25-question test. Pretty simple test if they read the book.
Now, who corrects that test? Do I correct it?
The state of Colorado can. National driver training is, we are state testers for the state of Colorado, so we do have that license.
Okay.
So you could go to any of our offices in Parker, Denver, Aurora, Colorado Springs. The test is included in the program. You already paid for that, Dad. And once he passed that test, and 99.9% of the kids do, he's ready for his permit. And now you can start driving part two of level one.
All right. Has he done any parking lot work at this point prior to taking the test?
Only if the parking lot happens to be in front of your home. If you go to a public parking area and there was a crash or he was to hit a light standard, a lot of times there's one or two light standards in a high school parking lot. They're going to hit that one or two, even if it's on 5 acres. If there's one tree, they'll find it. So I would encourage every parent to do not take them on a public roadway until they have that permit, because your insurance won't cover it. Let me give you one other tip. Homeschooling moms and dads, I love you dearly. I've been working with you for many, many years. It's been a pleasure working through HSLJ with all the homeschoolers throughout the United States. You can't take your homeschooling neighbor's son in the car. You're not insured. You're insured with your own team, but you're not insured to be an instructor for somebody else's team, even if it's your sister.
Do I need to call my insurance agent before I put him behind the wheel?
Depends on what state. In certain states, they are now collecting fees for adding a 15-year-old to the policy.
Okay.
In this state and the state of Colorado, you are automatically insured with that 15-year-old by statute, but check with your insurance broker. I am not an insurance broker or licensed insurance salesman, so be safe on that and just double-check what I've just told you.
Okay, so now at this point we have the course. He's done the first section. He's taken the 25-point question test. He has passed it. He's ready to drive.
He's got his permit.
He's ready to drive. Now, what does he do?
In the parking lot, you're going to demonstrate to them in our Chapter 1. We have 8 exercises: starting, stopping, right-hand turns, left-hand turns, using your signals, turn, recovery. Simple exercises like that. You'd be surprised how tough that's going to be on a brand new driver. Now, in Daniel's back experience, I don't know if he's been on ATVs or he's been buzzing around on a lawnmower or a skip loader. You guys live up here in the mountains, and so I don't know what his past experience is. He may pick up on this much quicker. Moms and dads, if you have students like that, they're going to get out of the parking lot quite quick. But you need to double check and make sure that they're making that turn as well as you, mom and dad. And the way that scoring system works, Kevin, is really simple. And that's why this program has been so successful, because the way we've simplified these driving instructions. Mom and dad, take them through the first 8 exercises. Now, you get the highest score of 10 points on each one of these exercises, or 100%. For your right turns, left turns, starts and stops, you're doing them perfectly. I'm going to give you 100% on that. Daniel may not hit 10 points on each one of these exercises. His right turn might be a little bit squirrely. Stopping, dad might lunge forward and bang his head on the dashboard. Fun things are going to happen in the car on that first day out. Turn, recovery, he's not going to be very good at it. Or hand-to-hand turning on the turn recovery, or hand-to-hand turning, whichever process you're going to teach him. And so the first time out, the first hour, you never exceed an hour. Go out for an hour. Let Daniel, by demonstration, show him how to get a perfect score.
How fast does he drive through the parking lot?
5-10 miles an hour. That's all.
That's it.
That's it. Because we're learning the start, stop. We're learning depth perception on the car. You know, it's a lot tougher to teach a right-hand turn than a left-hand turn. And, Dad, you need to know that. Mom, you need to know that. If you haven't read this first chapter, you guys need to read it so you know what to teach Daniel. And so on right turns, left-hand turns, how well did he do compared to you? Well, the first time out, he's maybe going to get 4 or 5 points. Not quite enough to pass. Now, you're either going to get continue working on it, barely passing, you've passed, or you've passed with a very high score. And those scores range between 50 and 60, 65 and 70, like that. And he has to earn his way there. It might take him 3, 4, 5 Saturdays in the parking lot before he graduates. Now, let me tell you how he graduates. He's got to get enough points from dad or mom, in the parking lot, starting, stopping, right-hand turns, left-hand turns, as well as you guys are doing it. Plus, you need to hit 90% on the testing from Chapter 1. Interesting thing about National Driver Training, we're testing them at every chapter. Do you know at most of these schools, there is not a test? So how do we know what Daniel's comprehended, what he's learned and what he hasn't learned without a test that takes him from the parking lot to the residential streets to 2025?
And I think this is obvious why you do that. If he hasn't passed through level one and you put him in level two, level three, level four, he could get in an accident at that point.
Right. Think of it as flight school. And by the way, that's where this program comes from. It comes from the United States Air Force Academy. That's all we did is we took flight school, put a car there, took the aircraft out. But imagine some cadet not passing the nine flights with an IP on the Air Force Academy, and then you just let him fly over Focus on the Family or Colorado Springs before he's ready. That's effectively what you're doing.
Pretty scary stuff. Now, okay, the parent is sitting right next to his child the first time, and I think this is scary for the average parent. I mean, you know, your son is sitting there. He's got his hands on the wheel. He's got his foot on the pedal. What do you do? You don't have your own brake. How do you make sure that we're not hitting light poles?
Well, first off, you pick a high school parking lot where they're generally they don't have light poles. They don't have curbs. They don't have tree planters and things like that. They've removed them for the obvious reasons. So you pick a parking lot. You don't go to Sears or you don't go to a major shopping center and teach them how to drive there. That's level six. Level one, there is nothing to hit. We're learning how to start. We're learning how to stop. And generally, a lot of the vehicles do have a center handbrake like our Jeeps do. And you can use that. Also, we have a brake for about $300. Parents could, we sell them, it gets installed, and then we buy it back from them for about $200. Your cost is about $100 for training the one child or in homeschooling families, the other nine kids that are generally part of the group as well. So you can buy a brake, and then National Driver Training will actually buy it back. It's a second brake, and it's kind of a neat tool. So you're in a parking lot, Kevin, where you can't get hurt, and you're not going to leave that parking lot until you are absolutely sure. Daniel's making right-hand turns, left-hand turns, turn recovery. He's got his depth perception correct on making right-hand turns, which is tougher to teach than left-hand turns. And before you go out to real stop signs where there's real people and real cars and real traffic.
Wayne, why don't you walk through the other steps here? You've got different levels now. We talked about level one. Quickly, walk through the other levels. What do we address as we go through this, and how long does it take?
Great. The average lesson is 4 to 5 hours, depending on Daniel's ability. If Daniel doesn't get it in level one, why would we graduate him? Again, that testing is a very key element. So now Daniel's done that. He's graduated from the parking lot. He's got 90% or better. He's got 90% better on the classroom work. We're in level two residential streets. Stop signs, right turns, left-hand turns, crosswalks, perhaps elementary schools in the neighborhood. As you're driving up the road with Daniel, you're in the passenger seat, you will ask Daniel, what was the sign we just passed? I don't know, Dad. Daniel replies. And so Daniel's just made you aware that he's not practicing his sign awareness. He's got to do his sign management. So you then when you're coming up to an intersection, you may say to Daniel, at the very next intersection, and signaling with your hand, so you're doing charades, plus you're speaking it, so you're talking to two of Daniel's senses. Daniel, I'd like you to make a left-hand turn, and you take your right arm, put it past Daniel's face, don't block his vision. Make a left at the next corner. Talk clear to Daniel so he understands. Right-hand turn, left-hand turn. Daniel, what's the speed limit? You know, every time you pass a stop sign or a traffic light, you folks out there that are going a little too fast, Kevin, do you know they drive a little fast on your way to your home, about 30 miles over the speed limit?
Yeah, about 30 miles.
But anyways,
mm-hmm.
When you pass that traffic light, look, there's a speedometer. There's a speedometer, and you ask Daniel, what was that sign we just passed? Well, that was a speedometer sign, Dad. And then you ask Daniel, okay, how fast are you going? So you're checking your mirrors every 3 to 8 seconds, and you're doing all this at 20 miles an hour.
Now, it's critical to be talking back and forth all the time. This is part of it, right?
Absolutely.
What are we thinking? Is there somebody coming, walking beside this car over here? Are we going to expect something over here? And what about the 12-second rule?
Yeah, so as you're going up the road, you might say to Daniel, as he's coming to a stop sign, Daniel, what's the 1-second rule in the state of Colorado? Gee, I don't know, Dad. Okay, it's the stop rule. You have to stop, no movement for 1 second. And when you come to a complete stop, I am going to count 1,001. That's enough time, Daniel, for you to look left, right, left. You see how the timing on that is pretty good?
Right.
Now, the 2-second rule, following distance under 45 seconds, 45 miles an hour, 1,001, 1,002.
Right.
When Daniel's car, when the car in front of you passes a certain object, it's the 2-second rule. That's if it's above 45 miles an hour, they are now saying the 3-second rule. I know that's tough to do on our freeways because most folks here are not giving us the time to do the 3-second rule. If you are making a turn on a busy street, you're going to say, Daniel, I want that turning signal on 3 seconds before you get to that intersection. Or the 12-second rule. Daniel, tell me what the 12-second rule is. Gee, Dad, I don't know. You just figured out that Daniel hasn't read chapter 2. And you need that foundation of the educational before you can actually go out and do that practical. Daniel, it's important that the next time we get together, next Saturday, that you know what that 12-second rule is. And, of course, next Saturday, Daniel's going to look it up prior to next Saturday. He's going to say, 12-second rule, two city blocks, 6 seconds, 6 seconds, or one big, long country block, if you will. The point is you want Daniel planning ahead 12 seconds. And once he's accomplished that, and he's making right-hand turns, left-hand turns, he's doing lane management, speed management, turn management, all the managements perfectly, then he's allowed to go to the next level, providing he's passed both those areas.
All right, now for the question, when is he ready to go solo? At what point are we sure that this young man is ready to drive the car and drive it alone? Obviously, he still needs a mom or dad beside him with the permit. He needs to get a driver's license before he goes solo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But what else?
Well, let's just say we've moved all the way up to level 7. You guys have worked together. Daniel's really proficient. One of the things that I've learned as a driving instructor, Kevin, in that 6 hours, the first 2 or 3 hours, I'm doing a lot of talking. I'm doing a lot of narration. I'm staying ahead of the student by 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, perhaps, of what the plan is. When the student becomes proficient, all of a sudden it gets very quiet and pleasant in the vehicle. Now, of course, you never lose it. You don't ever yell at your team. And you don't put yourself in a situation where you have to yell and say, stop, stop, stop. Because if that's happening, Daniel doesn't belong at that level.
Let's go back to the parking lot.
Yeah. Or go back at least one step. If he's not following instructions and he's not dazing off and thinking about all the other wonderful things that are going on in his life. And so Daniel is paying attention. He's got it. He's doing his sign management, lane management, turn management. And you're at that level. Daniel then is he's gotten his license. He's passed the state examination. You're very comfortable with what you see in the car. You know everything he knows. You know all 168 maneuvers because you've looked at the book. Mom and Dad, you've gone through those pointers that I've given you in the book. You've watched the traffic safety videos. And Daniel's nailing every single one of those perfectly. Now you say to Daniel, Daniel, like the parking lot, I'm going to put a ring around our home, and I'm going to give you a 5-mile ring. And as you become proficient at that 5-mile ring in a couple of months, I'm going to expand it to 10 miles and then to 20, and then pretty soon you're safe. And then you have to kick in, Kevin. You have to kick in the rules that's going to keep Daniel alive till 18, because that's the fight. If we can keep Daniel alive to 18, we're halfway through the problem of driving in the United States. One of those is, Daniel, you're in by 10 o'clock. As we know, between 10 and 12, 3 of the 4 deaths have already happened. You know, in this state, we say curfew kicks in for kids at 12 o'clock. 3 of the deaths have already happened. Daniel, we want the pendulum.
By midnight.
We don't want the pendulum swinging that far. Daniel, I don't want any other kids in that vehicle with you the first 6 months you're driving.
Yeah.
You know, the first 500 miles he drives, his crash fatality is at its highest. Add one teenager to that mix, it goes up by 200%. Add 2 teenagers in that first 500, it goes up by 500%. That's a serious number.
And this is just common sense, providing responsibility and opportunity for our teens. But as parents, we need to be careful with this. Make sure that they're ready for it before you introduce those new responsibilities to that teen.
Now, what you and I are talking about sitting here today about Daniel, we're hardly scratching the surface of things that moms and dads have to get ready for. And, oh, by the way, if you follow the steps, if you follow all the rules, you are going to do a great job, and Daniel is going to live to be 80, 90 years old. He is not going to become a statistic, because we, the parents, know, because we took him through step by step in every single process to get him there.
And one more thing, get down on your knees and pray to God that he will protect your little ones all the way through to the end. And ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to get in touch with Wayne Tully and National Driver Training Institute. They provide an excellent program. I've heard so many good things about your program, Wayne.
Thank you, Kevin.
From so many homeschoolers in our state. I know it's available to lots and lots of other states, so just go check it out at nationaldrivertraining.com. It's nationaldrivertraining.com, folks, for more information on keeping your children alive and giving them a good driver training course. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.